Hello and welcome to this Fraser of Allender podcast. My name is Emma Congreve and today we are talking about the new Fraser of Allender commentary supported by Deloitte, which we published today. To discuss the commentary, I'm joined by my colleagues Mary Sparage and Adam McGeoch and Gavin Hood, Head of Advisory Corporate Finance for Deloitte in Scotland. Thank you for joining us. So first, turning to you, Mary, what are the main themes from the commentary this time?
So in the commentary, like normal this time, we've looked at what the latest data is telling us about the performance of the Scottish and UK economy. And interestingly, we now have the data for the whole of 2020 for the Scottish economy. And obviously, it's been one of the most turbulent years we've ever seen, with massive falls in output during March and in April, a recovery during the summer, and then recovery flattening off in the autumn as lockdowns appeared again. And what we know from the data that was published for the UK on Friday last week, there's likely to be a contraction of growth as we move into the lockdown period after Christmas. So an unprecedentedly turbulent year. And at the end of the year, the Scottish economy, you know, hadn't recovered to pre-pandemic levels yet. We're still a way off that. And it remains 7.2% below the sort of pre-pandemic levels. Now that's slightly worse than the position that the UK was in at the end of December. So it'll be interesting to see what the experience of the Scottish economy is through quarter one and beyond. What else we look at during this is also the kind of experience of companies throughout this lockdown in the first quarter of this year. There definitely seems to be a story, as we suspected during the autumn, of adaptation in particular industries to the lockdown. So no industry is as locked down, if you like, as it was during the first lockdown, even in those that are relying on social spending and things like that. We can see that they have adapted more to this lockdown, although they are shut to a much higher degree than other industries. But when we look at industries like manufacturing, you can see that they are actually were operating sort of above those pre-pandemic levels by the end of the year. Now, some of that's due to things like stockpiling and other things due to the end of the EU transition period. But there's certainly a much greater degree of adaptation in some industries, like construction manufacturing, for example, and they have a very low level of closure. So it's just interesting the kind of sectoral disparities. We'll no doubt talk about this a bit more in a wee while, but that's just the story of this pandemic and its associated economic crisis, the differential impact on different sectors.
Yeah, so you say we're obviously a long way below the levels of economic activity that we were before the pandemic. So what are we saying about the outlook for the economy? Do we think, compared to where we were when we did the last commentary, have things got worse, better, or are we kind of in the same place?
Yeah, it's really interesting because so much has happened since December when we did our last commentary. So when we published our last set of scenarios for Outlook, because we are still publishing three different scenarios because there's so much uncertainty around about what the outlook is. Since then, we've had the new variants of COVID, which led to the post-Christmas lockdowns. So we weren't expecting activity to be so subdued in the first quarter of 2021 as it has been. So on the one hand, you know, that would, you know, worsen the outlook for growth because, as you would expect, the outlook for 2021 is much worse than it was in early December. However, you know, sort of countering that a bit, the vaccine rollout, you know, compared to what we were maybe thinking in early December has been unbelievably successful and fast. And, you know, the percentage of the population that's now vaccinated is incredible. So I think the optimism for what's going to happen, you know, in terms of emerging from this lockdown and, you know, the way that the economy can get back to more normal times is probably more positive than it was in December. So taking those two things together, what we get is a much more subdued view of what might happen during 2021 in terms of growth overall, but much better outlook for 2022. So essentially a lot of the growth is kind of pushed into 2022. What it means is that we're saying now that we think that the economy will get back to its pre-pandemic levels in October 2022. So that's 2.5 years after the start of the pandemic. So that's our central scenario. And in December, we were saying August 2022. So it's maybe a couple of months later, but, you know, in all honesty, that's around about the same time, i.e., you know, autumn 2022, around 2.5 years after the start of the pandemic. Although we would still say, you know, there is a great deal of uncertainty in these outlook projections. But, you know, we're definitely more hopeful about what's going to happen in the second half of 2021 and into 2022 than we were in December.
Thanks. So the other big issue on people's minds, as well as the pandemic, is the election, which we are just a couple of months away from now. And obviously this is going to be an election year like no other. But what does this this commentary kind of tell us about what the kind of backdrop is for the Scottish election this time? And are there particular things that we think may affect the election and the kind of the campaign?
Yeah, again, it's interesting that, you know, the election period, so the 6-week period up to the election happening on the 6th of May, kicks off next week, just after the 1 year anniversary of us all going into, you know, the full lockdown, and what a year it's been. So, you know, the economic crisis and the sort of performance of different governments and policy choices and so on during the last year will obviously feature in terms of the electorate's view of what's going to happen during the election campaign. And, you know, and we wait with interest to see what the sort of parties are going to focus on. But it's likely, obviously, that recovery is going to be a key theme. And we're expecting, obviously, policies that perhaps focus on dealing with some of the inequalities that have perhaps been exacerbated during the period of the pandemic. But obviously, we also expect a big focus on kind of green recovery and how we can, you know, build the economy back in a way that's perhaps more sustainable and more inclusive. Of course, the things like the constitutional question are likely to feature quite heavily, but there's a lot of domestic devolved policy issues that, you know, I'm sure the electorate will be interested in hearing thoughts on.
Great, thanks, Mary. I'm turning now to Adam to talk a little bit more about some of the detail that's in this this commentary. So throughout the year, we've discussed a number of times that there's been a very differential impact on different sectors. And in this commentary, we've shone a spotlight on the hospitality industry. What are the main conclusions that we've come to?
Yeah, thanks, Emma. So Mary had mentioned there about the sectoral disparities that we're seeing in the economy. And the hospitality sector is definitely an industry that has been asymmetrically impacted by the ongoing pandemic and the subsequent lockdowns and travel restrictions. So a large share of the sector remains shut down and a significant number of its workforce remain on furlough. In fact, the latest Scottish BIX data shows that around a third of businesses in the accommodation and food services sector remain on furlough, which compares to a Scottish average of 80%. But this sector also buys from other sectors and sells to other sectors. Therefore, this commentary, we carried out some analysis into the spillover effects of this industry. And one way in which we carried this out was to essentially take this sector out of the Scottish economy to understand its economic contribution, not just to the sector itself, but to all the sectors that it trades with across the economy. So we estimated that the value of the accommodation and food services sector to the Scottish economy, after accounting for these spillover effects, was around 7.6 billion in Scottish GVA and over 200,000 full-time equivalent jobs. Therefore, the hospitality sector is a major contributor to the Scottish economy, and work will need to be done in the future to ensure that this industry is continually supported as Scotland begins its economic recovery from COVID-19.
Yeah, and it's also a sector that employs a lot of younger workers and, you know, those are particularly thought to be on low pay. So yeah, it's a sector that's very important for a lot of people in Scotland. And it's one sector where it's not been possible to do too much adaptation. So you can't work from home particularly well if you're been working in a restaurant before. So and then that's one of the things we've been looking at in this commentary, the home working and how, where possible, businesses have adapted. So could you tell us a little bit more about about that, please?
Yeah, so the hospitality industry, like you said, Emma, is one of the sectors where home working is quite difficult because they rely on social spend and, you know, face-to-face interactions with consumers. And there's similar sectors like the retail sector that are also really dependent on this. So it's really difficult for these sectors to transition to working from home. More resilient sectors like financial services and so on, home working has been a lot easier for them, and that is reflected in the data as well, and the actual economic output of these industries. The hit hasn't been as hard to sectors like financial services. So we wanted to look at, in this commentary, the impact of home working. So we reflected on the Scottish Business Monitor and the latest results for Q4 of 2020. And we found that whilst many businesses argue that working from home has boosted productivity, some employers have argued that managing employees' performance has been a little more difficult. And in fact, the majority of businesses actually feel that productivity has not improved with home working. But businesses, and the reason being for this is there's been a bit of a gap between innovation and collaboration in the workplace that is typically experienced actually in an office. So whilst their reviews are slightly more mixed, we do know that people will be working from home for at least the short term, but we do expect that there might be a bit more of a longer term impact on this. So around 9% of responding businesses in the Scottish Business Monitor expect that their workforce footfall will not permanently decline post-pandemic. However, the average business expects their office footprint to decline by around 25 to 55% in the longer term as a result of the pandemic.
Yeah, so there will be some changes on the horizon, but it's not quite clear yet exactly how things will land. And we'll talk to you a bit about that in a second, Gavin. But first, I was hoping we could talk about some of the more hopeful outlook that may be on horizon. So, I mean, we had some quite hopeful news from the First Minister yesterday, talking about dates and, you know, significant easing to come. And there's been a lot of commentary on the extent to which consumers will kind of go out there and start spending with wild abandon when it's possible again. So what's your view on the outlook for this?
Emma, thanks for inviting me along here today. I'm delighted to be speaking with you. So I think clearly much depends on the path of the virus and whether the governments are able to stick to their easing of lockdown roadmaps. That perhaps goes without saying, but you know, UK consumer balance sheets in aggregate look relatively good, you know, which is an extraordinary outcome for an economy emerging from, you know, the deepest downturn in 300 years, you know, low levels of unemployment relative to the level of economic destruction, thanks to the furlough scheme, you know, an increase in the propensity to save and social distancing measures restricting the purchases of some services have resulted in, you know, a pretty large increase in savings. Now, to be clear, you know, the term in aggregate is an important point there. I absolutely recognise that clearly a number of people, as has been referenced in the commentary and earlier in this discussion, have been very significantly impacted, as have corporates. To be clear, I think we will see, you know, some distress in corporates as support is withdrawn. All of that said, you know, I do expect the recovery to start in the second quarter, you know, an iterative easing of restrictions, you know, pent up demand, sort of fiscal stimulus, you know, all point to this being a pretty, you know, forceful recovery. We don't yet have, you know, much, you know, empirical data in terms of that willingness to spend, but, you know, other indicators, I think, are there. You know, social consumption, you know, in the UK fell by circa 80% in the first half of 2020. And, you know, following a partial recovery in Q3, it's expected to have fallen back again in Q4 and indeed, you know, Q1 as restrictions, you know, increase. So, you know, I do believe the planned increasing of restrictions should provide a huge boost, frankly, in this area over the coming quarters. I would also say that some voluntary social distancing, you know, may remain for some time, even when strict restrictions are lifted. I think we will see, you know, a certain element of the population remaining cautious to a degree. But, you know, overall, in answer to your question, I think the easing of restrictions will lead to a strong, you know, bounce in economic activity over the second and third quarters, specifically in the hospitality industry, which has been, you know, as we know, large elements have been shuttered, businesses will be reopening, and some of that pent up demand will start to be unwound.
Thanks. And now, just turning back to your views on sort of how businesses are going to adapt in the next wee while. So, we, as Mary's already talked about, this it's the sort of second major lockdown we've had in Scotland, and businesses have adapted, and there has been more going on compared to the first lockdown, started around this time last year. So what have you seen in terms of positive business adaptation, and how much of this is going to stay into the recovery? Are things going to look quite different, do you think, for how businesses operate in the future?
So, I mean, from a macro perspective, you know, recessions and, I guess, shocks change the structure of the economy. They accelerate adoption of technology, new ways of doing things. The whole work from home experience that we've referenced earlier in the discussion over the last 12 months has kind of powerfully demonstrated, I think, how technology can kind of decouple work from place, if that makes sense, and in doing so, create kind of new opportunities. I think latest GDP indicators and the data that you've presented in the commentary, you know, demonstrate that level of adaptation in a number of sectors. We certainly have seen the impact of restrictions appearing to be, you know, lessening over time as businesses have kind of learned to adapt across a number of sectors. What's been driving that? I mean, I think businesses fundamentally have had the opportunity to plan and implement safe working practices, social distancing, screening, temperature checking, flexible and shift, you know, working patterns, you know, all things that have taken, frankly, you know, time and planning in order to implement. So much more challenging to be able to implement quickly during the first lockdown, but people have been able to continually introduce these working practices into their businesses over time. So we've seen a lot of innovation, a lot of hard work, frankly, and a lot of, you know, preparedness to, you know, change and adapt. And I think that fundamentally is what's at the heart of what's coming through in terms of some of these measures. There's a couple of other points, though, I think it's worth sort of at least thinking about. I mean, historically, kind of recessions, you know, have, you know, impact quite a lot of damage, don't they, in terms of productive, you know, capacity in the economy. They impact networks, investments, the weakened balance sheets, and they crucially reduce a skills base. These impacts are potentially going to be, you know, less pronounced here than in previous cycles. The level of support that we've seen for the economy over the last year has been, as has been said before, without precedent, and that has certainly mitigated, you know, the level of impact to productive capacity. But we've also seen, you know, surge in online shopping, working from home, remote medical consultations, things of this nature, which actually could be signals that there could be wider productivity enhancements and change coming. You know, we reference in our forward to your commentary the importance of that sort of thrive mindset in work we've done in terms of the human capital trends. And, you know, to recap, that's thinking about, you know, a thrive mindset, recognizing disruption is continuous versus something that is short-lived and business will return to where it was before. And, you know, we've certainly seen a number of positive examples, you know, entrepreneurs, businesses seeking growth capital in recent months. And to be clear, I'm not talking about, you know, balance sheet repair. I'm talking about businesses that are wanting to raise money to support growth. And often that is about disrupting a market through innovation, seeing an opportunity, taking it forward now, frankly, you know, rather than waiting. And we've seen that across a range of sectors. So industrial manufacturing, you know, in the technology space, and in food service, frankly, in addition to financial services. So it's by definition, not every business can be a disruptor, but it's great to see examples happening here in Scotland where business leaders and their teams, you know, have got the ambition, the capability and the ability to execute on these plans and to do so, frankly, now. And that, I think, is hugely important and to be encouraged. So it does give me some confidence in terms of, you know, what this might bring to the future. And certainly, you know, those businesses that are able to, you know, disrupt the market, see that opportunity in the near term, you know, should be in a much better position to come through this recovery and do so to capitalize on growth opportunities. So those are some of my reflections, Emma, in respect of your questions.
Thanks, Gavin, and it's great to finish on an optimistic note. There's not been that many of those over the past year, so thank you. Thanks to you all for your insights today. Head to our website for more on the commentary, as well as all our other outputs. And we've already mentioned that the election is just around the corner. And actually next week we'll be holding an election webinar with our Strathclyde colleague, Professor John Curtis, to talk about the election and the issues to look out for. So that event is being advertised through our Twitter account and is available on Eventbrite. So please do sign up if you're interested. We'll be back soon with more podcasts, but until then, thanks for listening.